around you can trust. So I'm going to pray for Lorraine as she comes, so you can have a sit down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Lorraine and the unique expression we see of Jesus in her. Refresh her now as she comes to bring your word and speak to our hearts as we continue to think through about you coming down to earth. Lord, bless her, fill her, and open our hearts afresh for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dave and the band. It's brilliant. Really good. Okay. So very occasionally, on a quiet evening when no one else is around normally, I'll put the television on and search through the channels and try to find one of those rescue programs. Do you know the ones I mean? Yeah, great. Sometimes it's the RNLI going out to sea and they're rescuing someone off the cliffs or maybe from the sea itself, or maybe it's the helicopter and the mountain rescue in the Lake District or in Wales or something. I love a good rescue program. All the drama, it's great, that tension. Are they going to make it or not? Or maybe it's the background story. You start to pick that up, don't you? I love it. It's good. Christmas, it's the story of the unexpected rescue. We're going to listen to part of that Christmas story, and right now Pedro's going to come on up and he's going to read for us, which is great. Thanks, Pedro. That's great, thanks.
This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus.
That's great. Thank you so much. It's brilliant. Do you know, it's an unexpected rescue story. It's one that fits alongside the best mountain and sea rescue. So let's see if we can unpack it a bit and discover why that is. So right now, across the country, there will be some slightly stressed primary school teachers fiddling with tinsel and cardboard, supporting, helping children with coughs and runny noses, and hoping that everything will just come together at the right moment for a fantastic nativity performance. In fairness, though, that scene that we've just heard read to us, does that feature? I'm not quite sure. I think occasionally I have seen Angel Gabriel appear to Joseph in his bed and tell him, "Mary will give birth to a son and you are to name him Jesus." But I'm not sure I've ever heard that next bit. "Because he will save his people from their sins." You see, this was a rescue mission described by some as hidden in plain sight, all because of the name Jesus. So why call him Jesus? You know, that's not what would have been done at that time. Ordinarily, a son would have taken on the name of his father. But those instructions were very clear, weren't they? He is to be called Jesus. The name Jesus, what does it mean? God saves. The Lord is salvation. This was the clearest and the most obvious sign that this baby was here to save, to rescue. Mary's son was no ordinary child. And yet it's also really subtle. See, when Jesus was born, his name was pretty common. One of the popular names of the time, much like, do you know what the popular names of today are? I'll look this up. According to Google, which is the fount of all knowledge, so the top three are Noah, Muhammad, and Leo. There you go. Back in Jesus' time, Jesus would have been up there. You see, his name was ordinary. It was common. It was down to earth. In fact, there were so many Jesuses at the time. Some people say that's why he's often referred to as Jesus of Nazareth. It's interesting, isn't it, that other parents decided to call their child Jesus, Savior. I don't know, maybe it was just a statement of faith, faith in God. Many of you will know, we've got three sons, and maybe it's a bit like Andrew and I named our youngest son Toby, which means God is good. It's a general truth about God. But you see, Jesus of Nazareth, he's the only Jesus that lived up to his name, Rescuer, Savior. So why the rescue mission? Well, let's just think back to that time of Jesus' birth a little bit. God's people, they're living with Roman occupation, and they are longing for a Messiah figure, a savior, someone to rescue them from the grip of Roman rule. It was harsh. And some believed that someone would come in power and authority, a real kind of military style figure, a hero, and he would free them and rescue them. Others thought it might be a Messiah figure, much like King David of the Old Testament. Their scriptures spoke of a savior, and they were trapped in this Roman way of life, and they were longing for freedom. And they might have been looking for and expecting that freedom from the Romans, but that wasn't what they needed. You see, Jesus' rescue was different. The real rescue comes in that verse 21 that we heard. He came to save his people from their sins. And that's as much relevant today as it was back then. Just like God's people back in Jesus' time, we all need to understand and accept our desperate need for rescue, our need for a rescuer. It's true for everyone. You know, those of us whose lives look sorted together, those of us whose lives look really successful, as the world might sort of call it, or maybe those of us who have nothing, even those of us who feel nothing, we all need rescuing from our sins. Sin, it's a fascinating thing, isn't it? I'm sure, like me, you've seen the toddler, many toddlers, who take hold of something and they clutch it tightly and they state with great authority, mine. You know, the selfish idea that life just revolves around them and for them. And I often reflect, you know, no one teaches us how to lie, do they? It's there, inherent in all of us, but it's wrong. You know, I recognize that many in our wider culture, I don't know, lying doesn't matter. I think that's what we're getting from our television, social media. Actually, it doesn't matter. You know, it's a tool to be used for our advantage. And if you can get away with it, great. I'm not talking about programs like Traitors. That was a game, and hey, we've been playing Wink Murder for years, haven't we? No, it's more ingrained, that ingrained lying that says, what can I get away with on my CV? I don't know, it's parents telling their young children to lie as they're taken away from school during term time so they can have a holiday. Does truth matter? Well, it matters to God. Jesus, full of grace and truth. We heard that last week, didn't we? Yeah, that self-centeredness, selfishness, the lies, the untruth. It's sin. And it matters to God, and it should matter to us. From the youngest to the eldest, we mess up. We say things we shouldn't. We do things we shouldn't. We don't do things that we should do. We all fall short of the glory of God. None of us is without sin. Although if we're honest, it's probably easier to see it in others than ourselves sometimes. And before we know it, you know, sin, it can take hold, can't it? Like sand does after you've been to the seaside for the day, you know? There's just no escape. It's everywhere. I love this passage from Romans chapter 7. It's Paul reflecting on the hold that sin can have on him. I'm going to read it, but from the Message version. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. I love that. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does rescue us from our sin. He frees us because we can't rescue ourselves. You know, we need a deliverer from the outside to come and save us. No amount of resolutions, of decisions, of self-help apps and books can free us from sin. That's why Jesus needed to be named Jesus. It wasn't just a name. It was a promise that he came to fulfill, to save us from our sins. Do you know, I wonder if you know, you can go to the supermarkets and you can buy hot cross buns at the moment. Did you know that? You can buy hot cross buns at Christmas time. I think that's a great thing. I really love hot cross buns. Lots of people will really struggle with that, I understand. But you know, in a way, I kind of love it because Christmas, well, it looks forward to Easter, doesn't it? The two, they're inextricably linked. Jesus' whole purpose of being born on this earth, coming as a human being, was to take on human sin at the cross. Jesus the rescuer, he stepped into this world that first Christmas, and he still steps into our lives today. And we're called to respond to the rescue, to reach out towards the rescuer. When I was young, quite little young as a girl, I had an unfortunate habit of getting stuck in toilets, all right? Wherever we went, public toilets, friends' toilets, people's houses, I regularly found myself stuck and in need of help. And one such time, we were staying with friends of my parents, and I went into their downstairs toilet, and I locked the door, and it was a good old-fashioned key, proper key in the lock, you know, and I locked it. And there was just no way that I could unlock this key. It wasn't going to happen. And so after a while I was little, I cried, okay? I just cried, all right? Voices are calling out to me from the other side of the door. And it wasn't happening really until the man of the house who lived there, he raised his voice a little louder than everyone else's. And he told me to listen carefully. You see, he knew that there was a way out. He had a plan. But I had to follow what he said. So, pulling myself together, I managed to take the key out of the lock, and I managed to find this small kind of little cupboard door, just enough to reach it and open it. And there before me was his hand reaching down. Yes, it was great. He knew that that small, strange door had no reason at all, but it opened onto the stairs. So he reached down. I gave him the key. He went round, unlocked the door. Yes, hugs, more tears. I was free. It was great, really good. Now, I know that no illustration is perfect, and that one is far from perfect. I get that. But you know, the responsibility is on us to respond. We're called to respond to the rescue, to reach out towards the rescuer. We need to do that. Jesus, the rescuer, he came to save each one of us from our sins, but we need to respond to him. We're invited to seek and join in with God's rescue story. And when we take that step of faith and come to Jesus, when we reach out to him, do you know, maybe we cry out. We call out because we're stuck and we need help. And we call out and we say, Lord, would you rescue me? Would you save me? Save me from the mess of my sin in my life. Would you help me to walk each day knowing that you have taken my sin? You see, the Jesus of the Christmas story can become my Jesus, my Savior. So we reach out towards the rescuer. And then once we're rescued, we learn to live in freedom because we're rescued to live in freedom. You know, any person in captivity, well, they need to learn, don't they, how to live in their new freedom. And that's true for us as we reach Jesus and seek his rescue. When we know his name, Jesus, as Savior, when we really, really know it, my Jesus, my Savior, and we believe it for ourselves. Do you know, everything changes. Our faith in Jesus, that knowledge of him and the forgiveness that he has for us, it affects everything. And we find new meaning and purpose in our lives, in our work, in our relationships, and how we look at people and in how we think about the situations that we find ourselves in. But if this new way of life seems a bit too much, you know, the one who rescued is also the one who's with us to help us. Let's just go back to our Bible reading that we started with and look at verse 23. It says this. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, there's another name of Jesus here. Did you catch it? Emmanuel. God with us. We have Jesus, the rescuer, with us each day, living with us. Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. And the God who's alongside us, well, he's interested in every aspect of our lives. We've been freed to live fully, life in all its abundance. I wonder if there are aspects of your life where you need to maybe reflect on and ask Jesus to come and be Lord in them. Maybe you need to take time to reflect on your working situation, whether that's paid or voluntary, in home or you go somewhere. Maybe you need to ask Jesus to, maybe you need to reflect and ask Jesus to come and, I don't know, be Lord in your relationships. Family, friends, take time to reflect on them. I don't know, Christmas, it always seems to bring them into a sharper focus, doesn't it? There's an intensity about those relationships. Let's just take a moment now, shall we? Just quietly, you and Jesus, we'll just pause for a moment and you can bring them to Jesus, Emmanuel, your working situation, your family, your friends, another situation. Let's just pause for a moment. And the quiet, bring them to Jesus, Emmanuel. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for being alongside us in every aspect of our lives. Amen. Do you know, it might be in that moment that you were just starting to reflect on something, or God was just putting his finger on something. Don't lose that moment. When we finish, there'll be people who would love to pray. And, you know, Christmas is a busy time, isn't it? But don't, in that busyness, lose that moment. All this talk of sin and rescue, you know, you'd be forgiven for thinking, well, it's just not Christmas. But the ruggedness of the manger in Bethlehem, it anticipates the cross in Jerusalem. And it's as unexpected today as it was back then. Jesus' rescue mission, it's still almost hidden in plain sight, isn't it? You know, we just have to go to our shops along the streets, maybe even in our houses. They're covered in decorations. All around us, it's so Christmassy. We can miss the rescuer altogether. We've been given a gift. Do you know, it's greater than the any Pandora jewelry that you may or may not be given. It's greater than any gadget, any clothes, any toy, any pair of socks that you're going to open on the 25th of December. It's the gift of life, rescued from all your mess-ups. They can be forgiven, taken away. And in their place is the gift of life. Life with Jesus, your personal rescuer, saviour, friend, Emmanuel, God with us, who loves us more than we'll ever know. I'm going to ask the band if they'd like to come back up. And we're going to have a moment to respond. And as part of that, we'll respond in song. And it's a great song. And part of it we'll sing, Jesus, he's the giver of life, giver of life. And you know, it might be this Christmas, for the very first time, you want to reach out to Jesus and simply say, would you rescue me? Rescue me from my sin, my mess. I'm sorry. I want to live my life with you. If you're able, would you stand with me? I'm going to pray. And lead us in prayer before we sing. And as I pray, if you want to make this prayer your own, then you can echo the words that I'm going to say and make them your own. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have been here with us and you're here now. Thank you. Lord, we stand and we sit before you now, aware of our sin. Lord Jesus, I come before you and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the sin that I have done, the sin that I do. Lord, would you forgive me, please? Would you take it from me? Would you free me and be my rescuer? Lord, I pray this Christmas that we might all know the gift of life that you give. You alongside Jesus, our rescuer, Emmanuel. Thank you. Amen.